another day, another 2% drop, at least it looks like, in the Dow futures, another 2% drop in the market. Today, the concern is about the $62 billion loss reported by AIG. But last week, it was Citigroup that was unstable and dragging the markets down in the financial sectors and everywhere else. And CEO Vikram Pandit, the CEO of Citigroup, you may recall, raised his hand and testified last month before the House Financial Services Committee to explain all that has gone wrong in the year or more since he's been CEO.
I would also like to say something about the airplane that was in the news. We did not adjust quickly enough to this new world, and I take personal responsibility for that mistake. In the end, I canceled delivery. We need to do a better job of acknowledging and embracing the new realities. Let me be clear with the committee. I get the new reality, and I will make sure Citi gets it as well.
The question, of course, is can Vikram Pandit land Citigroup on the Hudson the way Sullenberger did, referring to the airplane there that was very much in the news when he testified on February 11th of 09. Joining me now is Joe Hagan. He's a contributing editor at New York Magazine who has a profile of the CEO of Citigroup, who, when he joined that company and was elevated to CEO, pocketed roughly $200 million from the sale of his hedge fund. Today he makes a dollar. As a result of a voluntary kind of giving up of his salary. Joe, what a year it has been for Vikram Pandit. Is this the right guy for the job?
Well, the consensus is that he's the only guy to do the job right now, because he might be smart enough to do it, but also because no one else wants it.
Right.
He himself admitted that his favorite blog headline is Vikram Pandit gets to keep his crappy job.
I saw that headline.
Yeah, so he, yes, and in fact, in the negotiations with the government that they've been having over these bailouts, the question of whether he will remain has come up, and the consensus out of the government, we're told, is that there's no one else, qualified and who will take it. Who's going to work for a dollar a year.
Your story, your profile really tells a fascinating story. It's a Titanic kind of a Shakespearean tragedy of a man who comes into Citigroup and is the servant to masters like Robert Rubin
right.
and Sandy Weill, who have a vision of Citigroup
exactly.
that they want him to preserve. And now he's the servant of government masters who have God knows what vision for Citigroup. How does he respond to this?
Well, it was so fascinating trying to do this dance. They're trying to do this dance where they're trying to maintain dignity in the sense that they have control while also trying to run away from the image that they are under the boot heel of the government,
right.
which, frankly, they are. And they just can't help that. The fact that the government, now owning practically a third of the company, has the power to remove the board of directors completely tells you what you need to know. And this whole argument over nationalization, it's really, they've thread the needle such that they don't have to say it's nationalization. But the fact is they have immense power over a private company.
Which is a real step down. Listen to this. One of the things that Vikram Pandit has to do is to stop the sort of hatred of bankers that has grown up
right.
in this entire economic downturn. This comment is typical. It's from a frequent guest on our program and someone I'm sure you know, Maryland economist Peter Morici.
The whole balance sheet at Citigroup is corrupted. The business plans are flawed. This is what happens when a compensation package drives your business plan.
Is that fair, that their bank was basically just a compensation package and the depositors be damned?
Well, you could say that about, all of these Wall Street firms. And to varying degrees, some of them are driven even more by compensation than others. And in this case, many people saw Vikram Pandit's payment of the hedge fund that he owned, $165 million he personally made. It was an $800 million purchase as his compensation. And
right,
they're like,
right.
We're giving it to you up front.
In the beginning, yeah. Signing bonus.
That's right. And and now, because he made so much money, and it was such, in some people's minds, an egregious amount of money to have made for a hedge fund that didn't do that well and has since collapsed, that he owes them, he's basically
right.
indentured to continue riding Citigroup to wherever it goes, right?
Why did the math guy, and that's kind of what Vikram Pandit was,
right.
he was the guy who really understood the complex derivatives and the
right.
the board decided we need to get out of the sort of traditional banker guy and
right.
get a math guy in here.
Right.
Why did he fail?
Why did Vikram Pandit fail?
Fail to restore the confidence.
Right.
It seems like this is not the moment for the math guy
anymore.
Well,
that is the key thing that you hear from the people who are disgruntled at Citi is that they needed a leader who had the charisma, could corral the hearts and minds of the institution, because it's this crazy, unwieldy institution that's around the globe, and there's so many different divisions, and they're feudal and warring all the time. So you needed somebody who could really have the charisma, and he's a guy that won't even go in front of a camera. He's so insular and not into being in the public eye. But now he's trying and flailing about trying to do what he doesn't really have the skill set to do.
And maybe it's better for Vikram Pandit to be this quiet, low-profile entity as the government takes over, rather than to have some big, brassy kind of Donald Trump character.
Well, that's true, but at the same time, he doesn't have a choice.
Right.
If he doesn't inspire any confidence, because the markets are so based on confidence right now, and he has to figure out how to give them that confidence, and that's a very tricky thing to do.
So from pocketing $160 million to maybe take this job and shove it, it's
right.
a story of Shakespearean proportions,
right.
Written by Joe Hagan in New York Magazine, that's on the stands this week.
That's right.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.